Now, in studio, your lending expert, family man, and servant leader, who's committed to honoring and empowering San Diego's servant leaders to rise up. Your host of Rise Up Radio, James Carmody.
Good afternoon, San Diego. This is not James Carmody. I am your guest host, Eve Nasby, filling in for the one and only James Carmody. Love to be here with Rise Up Radio, where we are honored to interview those servant leaders here in our community here in San Diego. And we've got one of the finest, a good friend, Ed Quinlan from Community Health. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eve. Always a pleasure.
You are amazing. I just adore all that you're doing here in San Diego. And we're just going to touch on one little teeny tiny slice of who you are and what you do. Right now in San Diego, you are the interim president and CEO of a wonderful program called CHIP, which stands for Community Health Improvement Partners. So tell us about CHIP.
Thank you, Eve. A wonderful organization. It started in 1995, so it's been around for 23 years. And we're dedicated, we have lots of programs. We're known in town as a great collaborator or backbone organization. We facilitate a couple of big programs for the county and our Suicide Prevention Council and our Childhood Obesity program. We also do some things in food systems, but overall, our whole mission is really to have people have an opportunity for optimum health, and everybody. And so it's the social determinants of health that we really are going after.
And I love it. It's not just about eating your veggies. You guys are also into emotional health, and you're into psychiatric health. You're into all the healths, right? And San Diego, as a community, we need organizations like CHIP. And you cover so many wonderful areas of this, and you cover it really well. And so let's just kind of, if you wouldn't mind, you've got a lot of different programs. You've got childhood obesity, the suicide prevention, mental illness. Let's kind of pick one of those and run with it. Tell me, what's your favorite? Which one do you like the best?
Well, that's unfair, Eve. I cannot be. They all serve a great purpose.
They do.
I will pick a couple today just to share with you that our Independent Living Association, this was something that we started here in San Diego in 2012. It was the first program of its kind in the country, and it really was intended to take people with mental illnesses and find suitable homes for them when they're released from some of their in-house care.
And you guys were one of the first ever to fund something like this.
Well, the county funded us in their incubator program, and then after that, the county, we were so successful. As of today, I think we have 72 facilities and over 600 beds.
Wow.
So that serve meals, so we're serving this group probably 1,200-plus meals a day as well.
Wow, that is incredible. And why are you doing this? You have so many. We're going to get back to these other programs, but I'm looking at this servant leader in front of me, and you do so much, but you are purposefully carving out time for this program as the interim president and CEO of CHIP. Why?
Well, I've spent a career in corporate America where, I wake up every day wanting to help people live healthier, happier, more productive lives. I've spent some time in the wellness business, in the corporate world. And this is actually getting closer to the individual communities. So that's why I do it.
And you are serving, obviously, folks with a mental illness, but you're also serving kids, childhood obesity. That is huge here in San Diego. And I was watching one of the videos that you have, and actually it seems like you're making an impact, Ed, because the study said that overall San Diego kids, there's a less occurrence of obesity in our kids here in San Diego, and that is on a decline. Can you point that back to the programs you guys have instituted here?
It's interesting, yes. It's very difficult, the direct correlation of any kind of statistic, but here in San Diego, the reduction has been from 36 to 34%. Wow. The population of child population is obese. So we're good. I think you're giving us a little bit more credit than deserved because it takes an awful lot of people. And our role and goal at CHIP is really to be a catalyst and to get the right people in the room.
Right.
And so there's an awful lot of people that actually, do the work. So, think of us kind of as the getting the facilitators to get the right people in the room.
Well, I think that addressing childhood obesity is so important because any one of us can look around on a playground and go, oh, what are you feeding your kid? Like, you need to stop to get those chips out of their hands and give them some carrots, right? So specifically, what do you guys do in that childhood obesity program to help teach or educate and get these kids healthy?
Well, one of the more current things that we're doing is, you know, working in the Chula Vista community, having billboards up about zero sugar, drink more water. Mm. So the sugary beverage, sweet sugar beverage initiatives, you know, getting chocolate milk out of schools.
These are
some of the policy changes that help help with the obesity issue.
Wow. And with each of these programs, and I want to touch on some others as well, are there opportunities for volunteers?
Absolutely, because one of our programs in Lemon Grove, we actually have a Healthy Kids Day where we have different vendors come out and, again, promote wellness to children, activities from physical activities as well as you said, good eating habits.
Right.
Nice snacks,
yes. So are there events that you guys hold to raise awareness?
Yes, I think if you go on our website, there's plenty of events. It's our calendar is kept up to date. I think a big event we have coming up on the suicide prevention, I believe we have our interfaith big meeting in May, where we, help promote through a diversity of folks the need to understand the suicide.
Wow. So let's go right into that. What do you guys specifically do to raise awareness for suicide prevention? And can you give us a story around that?
Well, it's a program that we facilitate for the county. And let me back up here. I've said that a couple of times, facilitate for the county. I don't know if you're aware, or the listeners are aware, that San Diego County is only one of three counties in the state that actually outsources its programs.
Wow.
So that's why there's a lot of a need really for that role of a facilitator here in San Diego.
Okay.
So we're kind of a lead when it comes to that. And so with the suicide prevention, I believe we're up to about 10,000 people that we've trained through some national programs like QPR. We have a two-day assist programs that are kind of like the next level of education.
What does that mean? So you've got 10,000 people trained. What exactly are you training them to do? How long does it take? How do we get involved if we want to take this training?
The QPRs that we offer on a monthly basis, we have people that train, again, once a month is a good example of volunteers. There's a small stipend once you're trained to do these, but for all intents and purposes, it is volunteer work. But it's really bringing awareness to understanding when someone's in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
And how
what
are the signs of, and how you should question, and how you should be supportive, and not be afraid to address, you know, kind of head on the issue, as opposed to, you know, kind of walking away or handling it in a way that may not be comfortable for the person going through the issue.
Or even poo-pooing it away, thinking, oh, they probably really don't mean it. Like, come on, guys, we probably all know someone, and all our listeners know someone that has been affected by suicide. And so, wow, 10,000 people trained. So you're teaching people to look for signs and signals, behaviors, and then how to deal with that, how to communicate with them, maybe get them to the help that they need by asking the right questions. Now, you've got a level two of training?
And the level two is that you actually have a kind of a two-day, I wouldn't call it a seminar, but a training where you just get into the deeper, you know, the initial signs, what you can do.
And are these trainings free?
Yes.
Wow. I think everybody in San Diego should at least take level one because, you know, coworkers, family members, even kids, you know, what to hear from your teen. What's normal behavior in your teen and what's not?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Eve. If you look at the statistics, and one of the things that jumped out to me with the whole suicide was the number of adolescents, for lack of a better term, that this happens to. I mean, you see it in certain segments, but it is happening to, you know, 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds.
It's awful. And I've seen some videotapes actually just yesterday, interestingly enough, where the parents are interviewed and they are shocked. They had no idea. You know, they thought the behavior, the withdrawal, all that kind of stuff was just normal, and were shocked when it actually happened.
And it's interesting, I'll just make a quick point on that as well, is not only do we support the whole prevention concept, but we have resources and groups for the whole survivor to help those folks through, because obviously the real impact is those who are left, you know, that are still here.
All right, Rise Up. We are going to take a quick break. We're here on air with Ed Quinlan from the CHIP program. Please don't go away. We've got additional great information from Ed. You're listening to Rise Up Radio.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Life is full of bittersweet transitions. It's difficult to know how these changes will impact us over time. For some people, difficult transitions like retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one can hit harder than expected and may contribute to feelings of hopelessness or even thoughts of suicide. The risk of suicide is even higher for men over 50 who served our country. Guys like me. That's why support from friends and family makes such a big difference. Every day, your actions could help save a life. Together, we got this. Learn how you can help save a life at VeteransCrisisLine.net.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's Little League coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Oh, the luckily Irish to you, everyone. I've got a wee bit of Irish in me, and the accent's probably not it. But hey, happy St. Patrick's Day.
I didn't know if you were doing an accent, or maybe that was just from eating too much corned beef. Awfully salty.
Awfully salty. I know. Well, hey, welcome back to Rise Up. We are here and we're thrilled to have one of my good friends, Ed Quinlan, in studio. He is the interim president and CEO of CHIP, which stands for Community Health Improvement Partners. And oh my goodness, Ed, you guys do so much across so many platforms here in San Diego. And near and dear to my heart are the kids of San Diego. So if you wouldn't mind, could you touch a little bit about gardening and how this program came about through CHIP?
Yes, I think a couple of things. Our childhood obesity program, in collaboration with our food to institution efforts, have worked with schools directly to improve the quality of food and to increase the number of procurements coming from local produce, fresh local produce. But I think, I'll back up here. I said earlier, Eve, about the partners. You're giving CHIP an awful lot of credit today, and I'm delightful, and I certainly will take some of that. But there are 13,000 nonprofits, I believe, or 10 to 13,000 nonprofits in San Diego alone. Our role really is to identify and work with lots of nonprofits that deliver some of the on-site services, whether it be food banks, whether it be 2-1-1 is a great example of being involved not only with our independent living, but they're involved with some of our kids' projects.
And who is 2-1-1 for our audience that might not know?
2-1-1 is actually a resource. It's a call center here in San Diego that, you know, if you have a, instead of calling 911, You can call 211 and they can help you find the resources for whatever issue you may have.
Healthcare, childcare, food.
Anything.
Back on my rent. I need some help financially. 211 is a ubiquitous hotline for anything you might need. Great.
Yes.
Awesome. That's,
local YMCAs, we team up with them to provide early childhood, programs. It's really think about the individual communities and all the resources at individual communities. It's CHIP's role is really to make sure that the right people in those communities are talking to each other so there's less duplication of effort.
Yep. And with those tens of thousands of services out there and nonprofits, you better be sure these people are cross-pollinating and they're doing the same exact thing. So getting them all to work together just increases the efficiency of the whole program.
Right. And we do a lot of work with the universities that do, data and evaluation work for us in the programs. And so we probably have over 400 partners.
Oh, my goodness.
That touch the CHIP programs that we work on.
And one of those helps kids grow gardens?
Yes. And again, that's it's not just one firm that does that. It's really more of each school has kind of identified some resources that they have, and we go in and educate. And I'm happy to say in the last couple of years, we've increased school gardens by 40 new school gardens.
Oh, my goodness. Now, these kids are growing carrots and kale and all that kind of stuff, and they're eating it, and they're watering it, and they're doing all that kind of stuff. Is that?
Yes, that is definitely, and again, some schools use it primarily for kind of a team building, but others have used it, again, to raise food and actually use it in the cafeteria.
I love it. And you're teaching kids at an early age the impact of growing your own food, doing your own thing, seeing a need, and fulfilling that need with the labor of your hands. And I think I saw something else on your website where you talked to these kids about specific needs within their community. And a little girl said, hey, you know what? The more I think about it, and I think she was like 10, 11, 12. The more I think about it, when my sister and I try to cross the road, it's really busy. So what can we do to help make this neighborhood a safer place? So talk about that. Talk about how you guys are effectively communicating with these kids. You're instilling the seeds of responsibility into them early and getting them to act.
Well, there's a couple of programs. Resident Leadership Academy, where we actually go into, and I'll use Lemon Grove as an example, where we go into communities and teach residents how to be better advocates for themselves. Mm-hmm. We help educate them, prep them to go to school board meetings, to go to town council meetings, to actually make changes. And we're proud to say that one of our Resident Leadership Academy graduates is actually the new mayor of Lemon Grove.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a great story. And again, in Lemon Grove, we've recently, through a work with Kaiser, have upgraded parks. We've put in non-alcohol. We've been part of the policy change of banning alcohol and things and making it, to your point, safer to be in that environment. Mm-hmm. Partners Vision One is an organization right now that is looking at the 15 or 16 most dangerous intersection and crosswalks, and their goal is Vision Zero is that there are no pedestrian or bike fatalities or accidents.
Yeah.
And so we are working with them and communities that we work with to make that difference.
Now, if there are nonprofits out there that are listening and they're like, wow, I really want to join or collaborate with you, how do they do that? What are you guys specifically looking for in a community partner?
I think we're just looking for people that want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And when I say make a difference, not so much on the macro level, but more in Lemon Grove, Chula Vista, National City, wherever. And again, if we go back to where there's a greater need or an inequality with access to certain things. Mm-hmm. And so we do an awful lot of work in those areas.
Do you help them get the funding? Are you a safety net for them? So if I came to you and I said, hey, I want to make our streets cleaner in Hamul. I want to have somebody come out and pick up all the trash. I want to collaborate with you. I don't want to duplicate efforts. What services, besides the connectivity with maybe other folks that are doing the same thing, would you guys provide?
Well, I think we get everybody in the room, and then we'd meet with the, you know, the domains that we use in our world, which is the government folks, the educational folks, and really from parents, who are the interested stakeholders to make the difference? And then say, okay, our priority is going to be to clean up the park that's closest to the elementary school because of what's happened in the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And so we'll hold town hall meetings. Wow. We'll invite people to come in. And once the people are in the room, kind of an exercise that the Resident Leadership Academy teaches is who has the talent and has the desire to help with this. And it's, think of it kind of as a potluck dinner when everybody kind of brings their favorite dish and everybody enjoys a great meal together.
Yep.
This is, we want to make a difference in Lemon Grove. So come to this meeting and let's discover what every skills are and we'll apply them. If you have all the connections, Eve, to city council, then let's get in front of the city council members to say, okay, where's the priority of this? How can we get this done? What's the, and manage those expectations.
Wow. You guys are professional mentors communities, right?
A little bit. And I think we're, to your point, I think we're a great position to be a mentor for smaller nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, you know, 20 employees. We have a lot of programs, so we're very skilled at running and managing programs. We can help people get funding. We can go, we're not afraid to go in together to request monies from, you know, funding sources.
Right.
From that kind of collaboration.
I think San Diego as a whole has a huge heart. I mean, the people in San Diego, we love each other. We want to help one another. And sometimes we just need that extra step of really how to do it. We have a great idea. There's a wonderful woman out there that, Jennifer, I don't know if you know her. She does hugs. That's one of her things that she does, that she helps homeless folks get food and all this other kind of stuff. But she's known for her hugs. She just loves giving hugs, right? So you have something as basic and as simple and as wonderful as that. But then how do you take these great ideas and put them into motion? And that's what you guys do in part.
Well, and I think another thing I'll add that Chip does, and we have a reputation for this, and I think this is where we add value to the community. We're kind of like Switzerland. In the sense that we're the neutral thing. We're not self-serving in nature. In other words, the funding that we get is really intended to spread the wealth to the people that are doing on the ground stuff.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. So you've got a bunch of different programs and you're touching the heart of San Diego in so many different ways. What's next? What you guys are talking to our kids. You're touching on the safety and security of our neighborhoods. You're talking about suicide prevention. You're talking and touching and helping folks with mental illness. What else? What's next for Chip?
I think the biggest thing for Chip, like any nonprofit, is the sustainability of revenue, where the money comes from. I know, you know, when you're dependent a little bit on the government. So I would say futuristically is really to identify whether it be foundations and donors, organizations that really have a social conscience to get involved and fund. An example, if we went and said, for $10,000, you could build a garden for XYZ school.
Yes.
How many people would actually jump on board to do that?
Yep.
And how many people would volunteer to be part of whatever kind of exercise to do?
Right.
So I think that's the next next phase. And this is just a personal observation because I did not come from the nonprofit world. Nonprofits tend to be managed by their funders, their grants. They're very specific with their deliverables, and they're very good at that. They're very good. What Chip has done is taken not only delivered the deliverables, but really look at, because of the nature of our collaboration, what's next? What's independent living 2.0? What can we do next? We know, is it, do we want to have 300 houses, or do we want to do more services for the houses that we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And asking the people those kind of questions. But I think ultimately it comes down to funding and making the connections with, and getting everybody involved in making a difference.
And you know, I'm hoping right now our listeners, your wheels are spinning, because if you belong to the San Diego Garden Association, for example, you guys could sponsor a school. If it's $10,000 to build a garden, you guys get together as a group, as an organization, and sponsor a school. If you're with the San Diego Bike Club, you could sponsor an intersection. I mean, there's different ways that you can do this funding. And so we should refer people to your website, sdchip.org.
Correct.
All right. Can we donate there? Is there a big donate button?
Absolutely.
SDChip.org, SDChip.org, Ed Quinlan. Any final words for us to encourage us, the thoughts that you've got before we close?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank the opportunity to share this with you guys. I want a huge shout out to we call them Chipsters, the whole team at Chip. They do wonderful, wonderful work. Without a lot of recognition, candidly. So I want to recognize them for all their efforts and what they really do, the passion behind that. And I want to thank all our partners, because without them, none of this gets done. And so, the real goal is to deepen the relationships with the partners and make a difference every day.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for all you do to support this community, and a big shout out to CHIP, Community Health Improvement Partners, and go on to sdchip.org to donate, get more information, volunteer. If you've got an idea, if you've got a nonprofit, you need to collaborate to make this community a better place, and SD CHIP is a great place to start. So Ed Quinlan, thank you so much for your time today.
Eve, always a pleasure.
All right, Rise Up, stay tuned on this wonderful St. Patrick's Day. We're going to be back with yet another awesome community leader. Don't go away.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
Soil, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Soil Ship Enterprise, to explore soil life, to boldly grow where cover crops have never grown before. Farmer's Log, soil date 31655.4. We've come across some strange but incredibly helpful life forms. We didn't have to travel far to find them, but these organisms have proven invaluable on our trip through the solar system. They help feed us by nourishing and protecting our crops. They've built our soil structure to make it more resilient to the harsh weather we encounter. Our sensors indicate they're even helping us store carbon that plants take out of the atmosphere and put it back into the soil. Guess you can say our living and life-giving soil is the best thing to cling on to. Sorry. That's soil fleet humor. Visit your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
AM 1170, The Answer, San Diego.
Welcome back to Rise Up Radio. We are all doing the jig here in studio. Todd, that looks pretty good. I like what you're doing there.
Oh, it's not too bad.
You got the moves, man.
A little bit of the MC Hammer mixed with the jig.
You look like a wee leprechaun. Well, Rise Up, we are here on a fabulous St. Patrick's Day to celebrate yet another community leader, Danny Romero from Say San Diego and the San Diego Military Family Collaborative. Danny, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
And you're not wearing green. What's up with that?
You know, sometimes it just slips in the wardrobe. So, yeah.
Well, tell us all about what you guys do over at the San Diego Military Family Collaborative.
Sure. So, you know, I've come onto the Say San Diego team about a year and a half ago, and in that portion of time, I'm actually located in Murphy Canyon region. And with regard to the San Diego Military Family Collaborative, Say San Diego operates almost like the backbone entity that helps to push some of the work forward. And so with regard to San Diego Military Family Collaborative, we're really about creating an inclusive platform where not only military families, but other military-connected providers can learn to find additional resources, and more importantly, to get connected. And so it's a great opportunity for anyone to come out and enjoy some of the panels that we have for the general public to engage with, whether you're civilian or military connected. And there's also ways of getting involved, and we have different action teams that are really intended to get, a little further along with building bridges when it comes to community work out there. So,
why does this organization exist? Is there that much of a need?
Sure. So I think, in 2009 is when the collaborative really started taking shape. And we had, six other providers, including Armed Services, YMCA, come together and really start talking about there's issues that impact military families. And
are they unique to the military families outside of civilian workforce?
I would say so. Mm-hmm. There are some things that I think that, I myself identify as a civilian. And I think that there's just some parts of military life that are just not universal. Mm-hmm. What the collaborative has done is really bring partners from all different walks of life, whether you be representing theater or employment or, just a social service provider like myself, but finding ways to collectively come together, share those different resources and information to really support the families.
Wow. And when you say different resources, you're talking about a whole lot of different resources. It's kind of remarkable. There's like this whole rainbow, this smorgasbord of services. Can you kind of start touching on some of the things that specifically you guys do?
Sure. So, the collaborative right now has representatives of over 130 different unique agencies in San Diego.
130?
Yes.
Wow.
So that last year looked like over 400 participants in some of the programs and convenings that we offer. And so kind of a bevy of resources that are out there includes things like the Elizabeth Hosses Center, Easter Seals, different groups that are just really trying to connect with military families, whether you be active duty or being working towards your transition into, the civilian lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So, veteran families alike, we try to really host a monthly convening where we take an issue like, let's just say, caregivers movement or drug-free communities. This particular month we're lending into the blended families and what to know about blended families. And it's really about demystifying and finding both military connected and civilian connected resources that would help anyone in those situations.
Wow. And so you've got, and the cost to go to these is?
$0 right now. So
it's
why
free, it's
not
for me.
Get out there?
Right.
But here's one thing too that I know that, especially parents out there, everyone is busy and, life happens. And so what we do is we encapsulate a lot of the panels that we have and we put it on our Facebook. We do it Facebook Live so that you can always come back at a later point in time and check out a segment or connect to who may have been speaking because there's a lot of important information that filters through.
Now, you mentioned a couple of different topics. What do you think is the biggest thing that military families struggle with today?
It's a great question. And I think, just to nail down one is extremely challenging. When we talk about military families, the needs of an active duty family, it may not be the same across different ranks or different branches of service.
Good point.
And when it comes to veteran families, once again, not the same challenges always. And so, one thing I can share that we're attuned to is that, with military families, you have a larger family unit and, finding resources for things like childcare or thinking about employment opportunities are something that I think is universal that kind of encapsulates all audiences, all military connected families. But, when it comes to everyone, I think that there's always something that can be gained in some of the life moments that they may experience. And so, having a collaborative that can really get their arms around the different aspects, whether it's financial support or just knowing what's in your neighborhood and community is what this collaborative does to better inform families.
Can you give us a specific example where you had somebody come in, an individual or a family, and they were able to glean from what the services that you have?
Sure. So one of the nice aspects that we really try to serve as a unique role, service provider in the community is through our Military Transition Spouse Edition. And, you know, oftentimes it doesn't matter what segment that we see folks coming from. Maybe it's employment, but at my center, you know, oftentimes it's a family who may make a transition into their final stages, and that looks like civilian life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've had individuals come through and go, and I know someone in this office perhaps may have gone as well to one of our workshops just to get better informed. And we have, you know, guest speakers who are the same speakers who would come on base to render services. So they're representing things like VA, education, relocation benefits. And it really is important for, you know, the active duty member to get that information, but our classes are intended for the spouse to have an opportunity to get it. So, you know, in terms of success, we've had many come through and then following a class connect to a provider who may have been sharing information like from our DOL support and get additional information for an actual job in their transitional phase. And so it's been very empowering, not only to the providers in the room just to see the power of collaboration, but obviously the participants of these classes.
You know, I love what you said, because spouses sometimes are left out. The military person themselves will go through transition GPS. They'll get brain dumped on all this information on what to do when you get out, and the spouse is just not there. And so you're offering classes for spouses to become, to get informed and get in on this.
Right. And I mean, while those classes on base are available to a spouse to attend, whether TGPS or TRS, you still have to make a large commitment in terms of getting that spouse there. So how are you going to find childcare? How are you going to find, how are you going to prepare a meal for a 5-day commitment sometimes? So what we try to do is condense that kind of information, make it very palatable, and have an opportunity where we have childcare there, we have food present, so they're not going to have to worry about additional barriers or obstacles just to get that same information.
Spouses, I hope you're listening, and tell your friends, because this is a remarkable service. Like, you just show up, it's free, you get food, you get childcare. It's a date night.
Yeah.
Come and learn everything that you need to know. It's fantastic. I love the way you're focusing in on the spouses. And again, on the employment side for spouses too, that can be difficult, even if they're not transitioning out, even if they're still in, companies don't want to hire them because they think they're going to be gone in 2 to 4 years, right? So do you guys partner with them with those challenges as well?
Yeah, you know, we're lucky enough to have a bevy of resources. You know, I mentioned a few providers who are part of the collaborative, but you know, it's really kind of networking, where once you've gone through a class or experienced the convening, you find that there's a lot of different providers who are willing to help. So, you know, just have an experience with us is really the message I want to leave today, where, you know, you'd be surprised of who knows who in this community. As large as San Diego is, in many ways that we still operate like a very small town.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So the other thing that you have on your site, that Spouse Edition offers the transition courses, but also youth substance abuse prevention. Can you touch on that?
Sure. So the San Diego Military Family Collaborative has two different action teams. And so the second action team that we have is dealing with youth substance abuse prevention. And right now, it's incubated in the Murphy Canyon, Sierra Mesa, Tierra Santa communities, but I can tell you that it's starting now to take light when it comes to the different bases all across town, because whether folks are willing to kind of put themselves out there and say that this is a unique challenge for their family, oftentimes you know that there are substances that are in the community that, you know, in the wrong light, in the wrong situation, can be really harmful for a youth.
Right.
And so we call them CPSA, and CPSA really does a great job of informing not only family members, parents alike, but also the youth. And and so, you know, we look at three different substances overall, and that looks like alcohol, it looks like marijuana, it looks like prescription drugs. But more importantly, all of these items, They're legal, and they're legal in different environments and different conditions. But for youth, that's something that to experiment with at such a young age can have detrimental effects.
It's scary.
So, you know, right now it's a lot of demystifying, you know, what's out there, and having parents a little bit better informed about what they may be seeing, because the game is changing in a lot of different ways.
Big time. Now so parents are coming to these seminars and they're live, or they can get them all on Facebook as well.
So what we have is a monthly meeting. We invite parents and students from the local communities, but also we invite providers, because you never know who's going to come through your door when it comes to being a military service provider. And so,
what is a provider in this particular vein?
Sure. So, you know, who we're seeing right now rally around are groups like Focus, are groups like the county of San Diego is coming to help support. And it's really to not only inform the parent, but the community at large as to what they're seeing. So to give you an example, when it comes to marijuana, we're finding the different devices that are being utilized are, you know, as small as a flash drive, as prevalent as, you know, just walking down the street and finding baggies of you know, marijuana residue around the local community, that I think the natural tendency is to say, well, that's not me and that's not my community. But it doesn't matter where you are. These things exist. And it's better to be better informed rather than to say it's not your problem.
Well, Danny Romero, we're going to leave it. This is a cliffhanger. This is a great conversation. We're going to come back after this break. Rise Up Radio, we're honored to have Danny Romero from Say San Diego and the San Diego Military Family Collaborative right here on Rise Up. We will be right back. Don't go away.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Whether you explore your national forests and grasslands by car, motorcycle, four-wheel drive, or by an all-terrain vehicle, please remember that all-terrain travel doesn't mean all-terrain. Forest Service land managers have recently created detailed maps to show off-highway vehicle enthusiasts and others where they may legally operate motor vehicles. Remember to travel only on routes designated as open to motor vehicles, as shown on motor vehicle use maps available at Forest Service offices or by visiting respectedaccess.org. Click on the Motor Vehicle Maps link located on the homepage. Follow these motor vehicle use maps to help keep national forests and grasslands in a healthy condition and to maintain public access to these beautiful backcountry landscapes. This message is brought to you by the nonprofit organization Tread Lightly, the USDA Forest Service, and this station, who remind you that respected access is open access.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey, Todd, what happened to our Irish music? I was going to say honk if you're Irish.
We're celebrating all different heritages.
Well, welcome back. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I am your guest host, Eve Nasby, sitting in for the one and only James Carmody, who is off today. We are blessed to have Danny Romero from Say San Diego and the San Diego Military Family Collaborative back in studio. We just left off with some really compelling programs that you guys have to help youth and parents alike when it comes to taking a look at the effect that drugs can have on them and the families. And I want to kind of pivot over to something that was just equally remarkable, and that's something that you guys have called Dad's Court. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, I work once again with Say San Diego, a civilian-based nonprofit, and there's 30-plus programs that we offer to to families alike, and doesn't necessarily always have to be military. But one of the programs that we've had ever since about 2010, 2011, is a program that we call Dad's Corps. And Dad's Corps is about our fatherhood initiative to really better equip fathers with reintegrating into their family unit. If a father is connected with them, to really teach them things like communication, discipline, positive parent modeling is
huge.
What do
you mean reintegration? Sorry to interrupt, sure. But are you saying they're out there somewhere?
Right. So, you know, with regard to our military fathers, this looks like when I come back from deployment and, you know, I'm trying to get back into my family unit, how can I be a better supporter rather than force my will in or take a back seat and not really be present?
Because so, mom has been running everything. Mom's been doing da-da-da-da. And you come in and you kind of maybe feel like an outsider.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And so, you know, we try to find ways to support the partner whenever possible. And, you know, and some of the fathers may not be connected with their family unit. So how do you make quality time or reach out in positive ways to make sure that your youth are connected? And so that we really kind of really focus on the engagement piece and not only being present, but engaging with a child whenever
so
possible.
So we have lots of military folks here in San Diego that are listening. Give us an example. Give me some practical tips. How can dads effectively reintegrate? What are some of the things they'd learn?
Sure. So one of the key aspects is that you can't just think it's always naturally going to occur. Mm. You have to make time in your schedule for quality time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we talk to them about, you know, look at your weekends well in advance. Make some time. Do something that doesn't always have to be, you know, SeaWorlds or the Legolands. But, you know, a trip to the park or taking a bike ride really does matter. And when you're communicating with your child, you know, don't always tower over them because, I mean, some of the fathers we see are just towering, stacked individuals,
right?
You know, so taking time to get down to a knee, get eye level with your child, you know, and utilize something like touch to make sure that you're not, you know, being looked at as this authority that is, you know, just punitive, but rather, you know, someone who's connected to you and you start that connection with touch.
Wow. So it sounds like what you're saying is being purposeful about being a parent.
Correct.
Schedule that into your day.
Definitely.
You schedule other things into your day. Schedule taking the kids to the park.
Exactly.
Taking a walk, going on a bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. That's fantastic. And what's the response been? You see some successes?
Yeah. You know, I think what's nice about this program is that we actually have an alumni portion of it where fathers who've gone through the program come back and they give back to the new fathers of the program. And so it's almost this pay it forward model where you know, they want to not only share their experience as a father with others, but give back. And we do that in various ways. We pair individuals as battle buddies whenever possible.
Battle buddies, because parenting is a war sometimes.
Right. Sometimes you just have to get out there on the front lines. But more so, you know, making opportunities where they can do service learning with their child.
What's
that? So, for example, we have a community garden that needs tending from time to time. And so on a quarterly basis, we create a volunteer activity or service project for the father to do with the child, if at all possible. And in the coming week, we're going to likely be building up a few Easter baskets for some military families, which dad will be helping with whatever children that they bring to our sessions. And so it's a great way of showing morals, values, and really kind of, once again, positive parent model.
Now, this is dads, and moms are also in the military, and they come back, and the same thing happens. Do you have something for the moms?
Yeah. Oh, well, I can tell you that there's a lot of the programs that run out of the Murphy Canyon area and the Healthy Start Military Family Resource Center, which I operate, that cater to both fathers and mothers. We have play groups. We have different group settings that we put on a regular basis, and so come check us out.
Awesome. I love it. Give us your website.
With regard to Say San Diego, it is just www.saysandiego.org. And with regard to the collaborative, it is www.sdmilitaryfamilies.org. And, you know, we have a great Facebook presence, so come check us out on Facebook as well if you have the opportunity. The ending at SDMilFam. And you'll find a lot of those tape segments if you're not able to watch right then and there.
Awesome. We're listening to Danny Romero, who's the Senior Program Director at Say San Diego and the San Diego Military Family Collaborative here on Rise Up Radio. Now, you've got some exciting things coming up, and the annual conference is one of them. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so the annual conference is a way so that we are attuned to the military community as many ways as possible. So we really encourage for command leadership to come out, from those military service providers to come out, and also who we're trying to really empower, which is the military family. So, you know, every year and approximately in the October fall session, we'll be trying to raise up an annual conference. And last year, it looked like 200 plus individuals participating. Wow. Hopefully we'll have the same response this year, but it's really about kind of digging deeper on issues that are impacting military families.
And is this a one-day conference, a one-week conference? How long is it?
It is a one-day conference, okay. Typically. And while we might change up the format a little bit, you'll probably start seeing messages as we head into summer and into the latter fall portion. And I know that one thing that your viewers or your listeners, I should say, down the line might want to check out is that with our transition classes, we don't want them to feel like there's just a one-off class for them. Mm-hmm. We're lifting up what we call transition talks, which is led by a military spouse herself. And so come this April, you're going to find regular segments throughout a week utilizing our social media platforms to kind of give a lot more information in 15-minute bite segments share on things like home buying down the line or your relocation and the different supports that are there or financial assistance should you be in it. So as these spouses are considering the transition from active duty to civilian life, just know that transition talks will be surfacing, so stay tuned.